series that we've been going through titled Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And in the previous weeks, we've talked about Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, how he obeyed God without delay over and over again. And through his obedience, we saw that prophecy was fulfilled. We saw that the prophecy of Jesus, the Savior coming out of Egypt, being a Nazirite, being these things that wouldn't have happened if Joseph hadn't been obedient. And we said that he has no recorded words in Scripture, yet his example of obedience preaches volumes to us and how we should follow the Lord. Then last week we looked at Mary, the young woman who's been overexalted by some and then lowered into obscurity by others. But we saw Mary as a young woman devoted to God, a young woman who obediently followed the Lord, a young lady willing to face humiliation and disgrace and even death, taking on the role that the Lord had laid upon her. And so we see this wonderful heart in Mary. We even pointed out her heart of worship as she sang at the very end of our service. We covered her song to the Lord, as a good daughter of David would come up with a song. I love her words in verse 38 of Luke 1. She answered the angel after the angel revealed all these things to her. She said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." She said, "I'm your girl. Whatever you have in store for me, Lord, I will do it." And so we see that spirit, that heart, that servant-mindedness that is very precious to the Lord. And so now that we've studied the foster parents or the parents of Jesus, the earthly parents of Jesus, tonight we'll consider the third person in the nativity scene, the reason for the season, and of course you would expect nothing less on a Christmas Eve service. Let's read together about the coming of Jesus to the world. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2 if you have your Bibles, and let's read again this familiar passage. If you've never heard it in church, I would bet that you've heard it from a Charlie Brown Christmas. So maybe you haven't heard it in church, but you've probably heard it in some way, shape, or form. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to read all the way to verse 14, and then I'll pray again for us. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.' Lord, thank you for your word. Bless it as it goes forth. In Jesus' name, amen." This week, I was reading this familiar passage. We've heard it before, probably. I've read it a number of times. I've heard it all growing up. And I was struck by the fact, this time reading it, that there are so few words about the actual birth of Christ. The events surrounding his birth are only mentioned in two out of the four Gospels anyway. And so as you read this, you're kind of struck by, wow, there's really not a whole lot of description here about the actual birth. That's what we're celebrating, right? It's what Christmas is all about. And yet in the Scripture here, you go, where's the description? It's really just verses, part of verse 6 and 7. are the mentions itself. It says, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. That's it. That's what you get. That's the description of his birth. That's it. That's the birth we're celebrating. So why so little time spent on the birth of the one who would change all of history? Literally, we keep our calendar based on this event. We're in the year of our Lord, 2023. Yet there's very little that's described. And I think there's a couple of reasons. First, the birth of Jesus, while worthy of celebration, is not a curiosity. It's not something to look deeply into as far as the way that humans gawk at things, the way that humans want to see, the accident scene on the side of the freeway. We want to get into other people's business. And there's a dignity that Scripture preserves, just like the dignity of the virgin conception shrouded from our understanding. Scripture withholds many of the details. It reminds me of the description of the crucifixion. Have you ever noticed that the gory details are really left out? Especially in John. John just says, he's crucified. He doesn't give this horrible moment-by-moment description. Oh, and then the blood was pouring. And there was none of that. There's a dignity. He said, you already understand what this means. And I see that here as well. You know, if it was a fairy tale, if it was an embellished story, there would be a lot more information. There would be a lot more drama to drum up interest. You know, we're making up this story to deceive people. There's going to be this incredible virgin birth. And instead we have, the time was up, she had the baby. That's about it. Well, what are we celebrating then? I mean, are we just celebrating a birth? Just commemorating a birthday, like celebrating a great man in history like George Washington, whose birthday will soon turn into President's Day and we won't even remember it? Is that all this is? It occurred to me reading this, reminded once again, we are celebrating the incarnation. We're celebrating the incarnation. The world doesn't want to admit that, but that's what we're doing. Think about it. If we are just celebrating the birth of a Jewish carpenter from Nazareth who said some sweet things, said some philosophical things, did some miracles, some social good, and then was killed prematurely, if that's all, what are we doing? Who cares? I mean, even if he was a good man, even if he was an icon, even if he was a prophet, who cares about his birth? But on the other hand, if what the Bible says is true and he's God with us, Emmanuel, that makes all the difference. If he died for our sins and he rose again on the third day in demonstration of divine power, well then, that's something to celebrate. That makes all the difference. And not just commemorate, but really celebrate. It means we have something that the whole world needs to know about. The incarnation is the reason we celebrate. It's the reason the events surrounding the birth, and not the birth itself, are presented to us to show us who he is. You know, we can't look at the manger and hope to understand it without looking at the cross and the empty tomb. Those things need to be in light of each other because it doesn't make sense without the empty tomb. To separate one from the other is to miss the point. And we can't look at the first Christmas morning and expect to have any level of understanding unless we look to the work of creation itself. And in this respect, the Gospel of John actually gives us the most insight into the nativity. Read with me John 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And now here's the Christmas verse, verse 14 from John chapter 1. and the Word that we've been talking about here, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christmas. The Word became flesh. The incarnation. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the Word made flesh. The same Word that has no beginning, has no end, the Alpha and the Omega of Revelation, the same one is the babe in the manger. Colossians 1:15 says something profound as well. It says this, he is the image, this speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. How is that possible? He made it all. It's all for him. He's holding it all together, and yet he came to be with us. Have you ever comprehended or thought about and pondered what this means? What this means, the God who made it all, the one who's holding it all together, that one came as a baby to save us from our sins? Charles Wesley, the great hymn writer and brother to John Wesley, wrote in this hymn, it's called They Shall Call His Name Emmanuel. There's these couple lines here that I want to draw our attention to that I love. He says, let the earth and heaven combine, angels and men agree, to praise in songs divine the incarnate deity. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Hundreds of years ago, these words were penned. They're just as profound today. I don't know about you, but my brain starts to short circuit a little bit when I think about this. I go, that doesn't quite make sense. I don't get it. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. The infinite God willingly, lovingly came as a helpless baby to us. I wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. But our God did that. Philippians 2 says this. Philippians 2, 6 says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Wow. Tonight, I invite you to once again gaze upon the nativity. It's not just a birthday party or sweet traditions or presents under a tree. It's the God of eternity. It's the God of creation. It's the one who spoke galaxies into existence coming as a baby. It's that one. It's the incarnation of our God, adding humanity to his deity, setting aside the glory to dwell among us as Emmanuel, God with us. Why? Because of his great love. Because of his great love for you and I. I'm going to close tonight with another familiar section of Scripture. You've probably seen this. Just like the Charlie Brown Christmas where you hear Luke 2. This one is on a lot of Christmas cards. It's on it's Isaiah 9:6. And it says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and he and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How cool is this verse? that hundreds and hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he says these two things repeating, a child is born, a son is given. He's more than a baby. It's the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And we'll say of him these things, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's wonderful. Maybe you've lost your wonder. Life is just a grind. It tends to happen as we grow up. Christmas was a little more magical when you were a kid, right? And as you grow up, you start to grind through things. You start to face hard things. And the wonder of life starts to fade. Jesus is full of wonder. He's what you need. He's a counselor. Maybe you have questions about life. It's overwhelming because there seems to be more questions than answers. That happens as you get older too. Jesus is a counselor. Bring your issues to him. His counsel is true. He's mighty God. Jesus is mighty to save us from whatever we've done. And maybe you need his might tonight. He's everlasting Father. This is not about his position in the Trinity. It's about his fatherly affection and care for his kids. Maybe you need a father who won't leave you or forsake you. Maybe you've never experienced that. You need Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace, lastly. The Prince of Peace. Tonight, if you don't know him or know the peace he provides, I'm offering just what the angel said to the shepherds. I'm presenting this to you. Good tidings of great joy for all people. Whoever would call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. And so he's our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Call out to him tonight. Call out to the Savior. Ask him to come and save you. He's come to this planet to seek and save that which is lost, to redeem it. It's not just a birthday party. It's our wonderful God coming in humility to save and rescue you and I. What a wonderful thing we celebrate tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. It's hard to understand the incarnation, but yet we're grateful that it's a reality. We're grateful that it's truth. We're grateful that you humbled yourself and came in the virgin's womb, came as a baby, in all ways tempted yet without sin. You understand our plight. You understand what it means to struggle with other people. And Lord, we thank you. We pray that tonight, if anyone doesn't know you, Lord, that you'd be tugging on their heart right now. We pray that they would confess you and that they would ask you to be Lord of their lives. We just thank you, Lord. As we celebrate in these songs, would you just soften our hearts, give us that joy again, even the wonder of Christmas. And we thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen.